14. Tokyo Chapter. The site Mitsuko's chapter had erected for the meeting reminded Chia of Japanese prints she'd seen on a school trip to the museum in Seattle. There was a brownish light that seemed to arrive through layers of ancient varnish. There were hills in the distance with twisted trees, their branches like quick black squiggles of ink. She came vectoring in beside Mitsuko toward a wooden house with deep overhanging eaves, its shape familiar from anime. It was the sort of house that ninjas crept into in the dark to wake a sleeping heroine and tell her that all was not as she thought, that her uncle was in league with the evil warlord. She checked how she was presenting in a small peripheral window, put a nudge more depth into her lips. Nearing the house, she saw that everything had been worked up out of club archives, so that the whole environment was actually made of low-res material. You noticed it first in the wooden paper panels of the walls, where faint image fragments, larger than life, came and went with the organic randomness of leaf-dappled sun and shadow. Rez's cheekbone and half a pair of black glasses, Lo's hand cording the neck of his guitar. But these changed, were replaced with a moth-like flicker, and there would be more, all the way down into the site's finest resolution, its digital fabric. She wasn't sure if you could do that with enough of the right kind of fractal packets, or if you needed some kind of special computer. Her sandbenders managed a few effects like that, but mainly in its presentation of sandbender's software. Screens slid aside as she and Mitsuko, seated cross-legged, entered the house. Coming to a neat halt, side by side, still seated, floating about 3 inches off the tatami, which Chia avoided focusing on after she'd seen that it was woven from concert footage, too distracting. It was a nice way to make an entrance. Mitsuko was wearing the kimono and the wide belt thing, the whole traditional outfit, except there was some low-key animation going on in the weave of the fabric. Chia herself had downloaded this black Silke Marie Kolb blouson and tight set, even though she hated paying for virtual designer stuff that they wouldn't even let you keep or copy. She'd used Kelsey's cash card number for that, though, which had made her feel better about it. There were 7 girls waiting there, all in kimonos, all floating just off the tatami. Except the one sitting by herself at the head of the imaginary table, was a robot. Not like any real robot, but a slender chrome-skinned thing, like Mercury constrained within the form of a girl. The face was smooth, only partially featured, eyeless, with twin straight rows of small holes where a mouth should have been. That would be Hiromi Ogawa, and Chia immediately decided to believe that she was overweight. Hiromi's kimono was crawling with animated sepia-tone footage from band interviews. The introductions took a while, and everyone there definitely had a title, but Chia had stopped paying attention after Hiromi's introduction, except to bow when she thought she was supposed to. She didn't like it that Hiromi would turn up that way for a first meeting. It was rude, she thought, and it had to be deliberate, and the trouble they'd gone to with the space just seemed to make it more deliberate. "We are honored to welcome you, Chia McKenzie. Our chapter looks forward to affording you every assistance. We are proud to be a part of the ongoing global appreciation of low-res, their music, and their art." "Thank you," Chia said, and sat there as a silence lengthened. Mitsuko quietly cleared her throat. Uh-oh, Chia thought. Speech time. "Thank you for offering to help," Chia said. "Thanks for your hospitality. If any of you ever comes to Seattle, we'll find a way to put you up. But mainly thanks for your help, because my chapter's been really worried about this story that Rez claims he wants to marry some kind of software agent. And since he's supposed to have said it when he was over here, we thought..." Chia had had the feeling that she was moving along a little too abruptly, and this was confirmed by another tiny throat-clearing signal from Mitsuko. "Yes," Hiromi Ogawa said. "You are welcome. And now, Tomo Oshima, our chapter's historian, will favor us with a detailed and accurate account of our chapter's story, how we came from simple but sincere beginnings to be the most active, the most respectful chapter in Japan today." Chia couldn't believe it. The girl nearest Hiromi, on Chia's right, bowed and began to recite the chapter's history in what Chia immediately understood would be the most excruciatingly boring detail. The 2 boarding school roommates, best friends, and the most loyal of buddies, who discovered a copy of the Dog Soup album in a bin in Akihabara. How they returned to school with it, played it, were immediate converts, how their schoolmates mocked them, at one point even stealing and hiding the precious recording. And on, and she already felt like screaming, but there was nothing for it but to sit there. She pulled up a clock and stuck it on the mirrored robot's face, where the eyes should have been. Nobody else could see it, but it made her feel a little better. Now they were into the first Japanese national low-res convention, snapshots flashing on the white paper walls, little girls in jeans and t-shirts drinking Coca-Cola in some function room in an Osaka airport hotel, a few obvious parents standing around in the background. 45 minutes later, by the red readout stuck to Hiromi Ogawa's blank metallic face, Toma Oshima concluded,
"Which brings us to the present, and the historic visit of Chia McKenzie, the representative of our sister chapter in Seattle in the state of Washington. And now I hope that she will honor us by recounting the history of her own chapter, how it was founded, and the many activities it has undertaken to honor the music of low-res."
There was a soft burst of applause. Chia didn't join in, uncertain whether it was for her or for Tomo Oshima.
"Sorry," Chia said. "Our historian put all that together for you, but it got corrupted when they ran my computer through that big scanner at the airport."
"We are very sorry to hear that," the silver robot said.
"How unfortunate."
"Yeah," Chia said.
"But I guess it gives us more time to discuss what brings me here, right? We had hoped to help us understand this whole res thing, right? We know. We're glad you do. Because we're all really worried about this rumor. Because it seems like it started here. And this Reitowei is a local product. So if anybody can tell us what's going on, it's you."
The silver robot said nothing. It was expressionless as ever, but Chia took the clock away just to be sure.
"That's why I'm here," Chia said, "to find out if it's true he wants to marry her."
She sensed a general uneasiness. The six girls were looking at the texture-mapped tatami, unwilling to meet her eye. She wanted to look at Mitsuko, but it would have been too obvious.
"We are an official chapter," Hiromi said. "We have the honor of working closely with actual employees of the band. Their publicists are also concerned with the rumor you mentioned, and they have requested that we assist them in seeing that it is not spread further."
"Spread? It's been on the net for a week."
"It is rumor only."
"Then they should issue a denial."
"Denial would add weight to the rumor. The posting said that Rez had announced that he was in love with Reitowei, that he was going to marry her. There was a long quote."
Chia was definitely starting to get the feeling that something was wrong here. This was not what she'd come all this physical distance for. She might as well have been sitting in her bedroom in Seattle.
"We think that the original posting was a hoax. It would not be the first."
"You think?
Doesn't that mean you don't know?"
"Our sources within the organization assure us there is no cause for concern."
"Spin control," Chia said.
"You imply that low-res employees are lying to us?"
"Look," Chia said, "I'm as into the band as anybody. I came all this way, right? But the people who work for them are just people who work for them. If Rez gets up in a club one night, takes the mic and announces that he's in love with this Idoru and swears he's going to marry her, the PR people are going to say whatever they think they have to say."
"But you have no evidence that any of this occurred. Only an anonymous posting, claiming to be a transcription of a recording made in a club in Shinjuku."
"Monkey boxing. We looked it up, it's there."
"Really?
Perhaps you should go there."
"Why?" "There is no longer a club called Monkey Boxing."
"There isn't. Clubs in Shinjuku are extremely short-lived. There is no Monkey Boxing."
All of Hiromi's smug satisfaction came through in the Sandbender's translation. Chia stared at the smooth silver face. Stonewalling bitch. What to do? What would Zona Rosa do if she were in Chia's place? Something symbolically violent, Chia decided, but that wasn't her style.
"Thank you," Chia said. "We just wanted to make sure it wasn't happening. Sorry I hit on you that way, but we had to be certain. If you say it's not happening, we'll accept that. We all care about Rez and the rest of the band, and we know you do too."
Chia added a bow of her own, one that seemed to take Hiromi off guard. Now it was the robot's turn to hesitate. She hadn't expected Chia to just roll over that way.
"Our friends in the low-res organization are very concerned that this pointless hoax not affect the public's perception of Rez. You are aware that there has always been a tendency to portray him as the most creative but least stable member of the band."
This last, at least, was true,
Though Rez's style of instability was fairly mild compared with most of his pop cultural forebears, he had never been arrested, never spent a night in jail. But he was still the one most likely to get into trouble. It had always been part of his charm.
Sure, Chia said, playing along, relishing the uncertainty she was sure she was causing Hiromi.
And they try to make Lo out as some kind of boring techie, the practical one. But we know that isn't true either.
She tagged it with a smile.
Yes, Hiromi said, of course. But you are satisfied then? You will explain to your chapter that this was all the result of some prank, and that all is well with Rez?
If you say so, Chia said.
Absolutely. And if that settles it, then I've got 3 more days to kill in Japan.
To kill?
Idiom, Chia said.
Free time. Mitsuko says I ought to see Kyoto.
Kyoto is very beautiful. I'm on my way, Chia said.
Thanks for putting this site together for our meeting. It's really great. And if you'll save it, I'd love to access it later with the rest of my chapter. Maybe we could all get together here when I'm back in Seattle. Introduce our chapters.
Yes.
Hiromi definitely didn't know what to make of Chia's attitude. So worry about it, Chia thought.
You knew, Chia said.
You knew she'd do that.
Mitsuko was blushing bright red, looking at the floor, her jelly bag computer on her lap.
I am sorry. It was her decision.
They got to her, right?
They told her to get rid of me, hush it up.
She communicates with the low-res people privately. It is one of the privileges of her position.
Chia still had her tip sets on.
I have to talk with my chapter now. Can you give me a few minutes alone?
She felt sorry for Mitsuko, but she was still angry.
I'm not angry with you, okay?
I will make tea,
Mitsuko said. When Mitsuko had closed the door behind her, Chia checked that the sandbenders was still ported, put the goggles back on, and selected the Seattle chapter's main site.
She never got there.
Zona Rosa was waiting to cut her out.